Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Bachelor Wrap-Up. Here to recap episode 4, I'm Amy, here, as always, with the lovely Haley Strong. Haley, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. I'm super excited for tonight's episode, not of The Bachelor, because that's just typical Bachelor, but of our podcast, because we have a special guest here today, Amy.
So exciting. Let us know who it is.
So we are joined by Top Chef Charleston's own Jim. Jim, how are you doing?
I am doing great tonight, and I am incredibly excited to talk about The Bachelor. So I listen to y'all weekly, and I'm glad to be a part of it.
We're so happy to have you. I'd love to hear more about your experience watching The Bachelor. Have you been a fan a long time?
Yeah, I've been a fan a long time. I think I'm like a lot of men out there. I am willing to admit that I like and follow The Bachelor and Bachelor in Paradise, but I think it's largely because my wife is such a big fan, and this is of all of the garbage reality TV shows I make her watch, this is the one that we agree on.
Wait, so you make her watch it, not the other way around?
Yeah, she's not really that much into the reality TV. I guess last night, our Celebrity Big Brother, she's like, I can't believe you're watching this. You know, like, I understand it. It's ridiculous, but, you know, I'm a sucker for it.
Yeah, I think we've all heard that once or twice in our life.
Yes. And Haley, I know you're a huge Top Chef fan, so I'd love to get the lowdown from you on Jim here for our listeners who may not be familiar.
So Jim was it's hard to remember if Jim was like a total fan favorite or if he was just like our fan favorite, but Jim was our favorite in that season. We were rooting for him, and we've had Jim on the Top Chef podcast a couple times. And actually, Jim was sort of on this season of Top Chef as well. He was one of the veterans in the Last Chance Kitchen competition. Unfortunately, he did not make it back onto the main show, but that just means he can come here and hang out with us more.
Ah, awesome. So it was like one of those returning Bachelor contestants, like on Ben's season, get a chance to come back.
Yeah, I can't even remember either of those. Or I guess you're the Becca. You're the Becca of The Bachelor. I forgot you saw the show twice.
I'll take that for sure.
the original Becca.
Yeah, soon you're going to have a Grey's Anatomy podcast up and at him too. Is there anything else you want to tell us about Jim that I've forgotten?
Not particularly. I guess I'm the executive chef for the state of Alabama, which does sort of lead me into how I know somebody on the cast. But yeah, I'm just a chef who likes TV and love cooking.
Awesome. All right. That was a tease. I think you'll have to dive in with that. You said you know somebody on the cast?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, being executive chef for the state of Alabama, I work at the governor's mansion. And so during the holidays, we always have local beauty queens come in and they're like hosts for the events and stuff. And they show people around. They say, welcome people to the mansion. And definitely I have met Hannah B, who has been to the mansion, I think maybe a couple of times. So Alabama, we have like a rattlesnake queens and boll weevil queens, but certainly the Miss Alabama is the top of the list for sure.
How do I sign up to be rattlesnake queen? Well, do I have to be from Alabama?
You do not have to be from Alabama, but there's this thing that we have here called the Rattlesnake Rodeo, which is if you're not a fan of snakes, it's probably particularly scary. But people from all over the state catch rattlesnakes all year, and they have this big, I'm sorry, all the PETA folks out there, I apologize for this too. But, you know, they round up all these rattlesnakes, and there's lots of rattlesnake competitions, like who caught the biggest one or the scariest one. And there's lots of various forms of rattlesnake eaten, and they have a beauty pageant to go along with that.
Oh, wow.
Do you think we'll ever see that competition on The Bachelor?
I don't know about The Bachelor, but it would probably make a pretty interesting television episode for somebody.
10 out of 10 would watch.
I think so.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I'm thinking, oh, that sounds so strange. Rattlesnake queen, boll weevil. But then here in Minnesota, we have like butter princesses for the state fair.
Absolutely. Okay, I really want to be butter princess. Sorry, Jim. I'm out on rattlesnake queen. I'm in on butter princess. Yes.
Do you get to go see those giant like cow sculptures of butter and stuff?
Yeah, well, I've seen like the, they do like the heads of the women. That's all I've seen. I haven't seen like a full animal or anything, but they, that's part of their honor.
They do.
Yeah.
They do busts. Huh?
Yes, butter busts.
I saw, do you guys remember the IKEA monkey from a couple of years ago? He was like a monkey who was left at an IKEA. Where he's like waiting for his own to come.
I've seen that picture.
Anyways, at one of our, it's called the Canadian National Exhibition. It's kind of like a state fair. One year they had a butter sculpture of the IKEA monkey, and that was probably top 10 moment of my life.
Wow.
Butter monkey, that's intriguing for sure.
Yes. All right. Well, other things that may or may not be intriguing, Haley, are the latest round of Bachelor Nation news. We always like to recap things we've seen, tweeted about, or podcasted about. So one of them that was really making the rounds in the last few days actually was teased before the podcast came out, but on Sean Booth was on Ben and Ashley I's podcast talking about his breakup with Caitlin. Did you see any of these headlines?
I did. Did I read them? Not really, because I knew you were going to read them to me.
All right. No problem. So I think the big headline was that he had said,
I heard he cried.
He paused a bit during the podcast, so like gathering his emotions. I didn't hear, you know, full on crying, but he had said he was kind of questioning if the relationship was real or what they had was real, and thought that she moved on rather quickly and kind of gave a new timeline. So he'd kind of go back and forth between being like, you know, it's being respectful to her, but then kind of like slipping in these things like, well, actually, you know, they're claiming they just started going out, but I knew about it in November when we broke up or something. So possibly they were dating longer and he was surprised that she moved on so quickly, that she and Jason were dating longer than just picking it up in January. And that he had been kind of hoping that they'd get back together. So that's kind of where that is. It was sort of his side of the story.
Is she addicted to Botox, y'all think? She looks so different to me every time I see her.
She really does look different. I think she might have really committed to the Booth Camp method.
Okay.
Is that exercise the face?
Maybe.
Yeah, she may have less.
I'm not really sure. I don't really understand how exercise works because I only do light walks.
Yeah, that's all I do as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Haley, thoughts on kind of exposing a different timeline or?
I really don't know how to think and or feel about this whole situation. So I'm going to reserve more judgment until more news stories come out. And based on the past here, they're going to come hot and fast.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure she'll have another response to it. I think what I was surprised by is I know that there were some headlines a while back that he was spotted with somebody and he kind of addressed that, that this was just somebody at a fitness event that he went to and there was hundreds of people there and that wasn't someone he was dating. But just because I saw that headline, I assumed that Sean was the one kind of initiating the breakup and moving on faster. But I guess according to him, that's not the case. So two sides to every story.
It's interesting.
Someone else who's moved on, but we haven't learned much about their love life. Not that I am that invested in it, but Chris Harrison is dating someone like officially now. I think her name is Lauren Zima and she's a entertainment reporter.
Not only is she an entertainment reporter, she's like a Bachelor reporter. I've heard her on Julia Littman's Bachelor Party podcast multiple times. Like,
that's an interesting twist. I didn't realize that part of it.
Talking about the show, I think she's been to a couple night ones. So this is very, very interesting to me. I'm super interested in this relationship.
Oh, okay. So you're going to do some more digging?
I think so, eventually.
You know, I always thought he'd end up with some past contestant, but I guess this is Bachelor adjacent.
Yeah. And I've always enjoyed Lauren's presences on podcasts, I guess. I don't really know how to put that.
Well, speaking of presence, we never really see, there's a lack of presence from Chris, especially in these travel dates. So, Jim, do you think it's possible that now that he has this new love that she's accompanying him when they travel and then there's even less time that he needs to show up and hand out date cards in Singapore, for example?
I mean, that seems like a reasonable theory. You're absolutely right. His presence on this episode was, I mean, did he even say like five sentences the whole time? I mean, it's really non-existent, but
exactly. I don't think so. I don't think he showed up at the until the rose ceremony. So he's there when they were still in the mansion and then the rose ceremony, but I didn't see him anywhere else in Singapore. Usually he's introducing some kind of group date, but here we had Colton, you know, talking to camera himself. So
with like the tiniest cup on the face of the planet.
Didn't notice that.
It was so tiny.
It wasn't just
a scene was kind of, I thought that scene was kind of awkward. I mean, it's just weird. Like
it was so
Skype
weird.
Recording. It's so very strange.
This whole season has been so weird, which is like completely reflective of the lead because gosh, as the weeks go on, it's just Colton's such a weirdo. I'm like, I like that. And I think it's funny and it's adding some dimension to him, but oh my gosh, he's a strange dude.
Yeah, that makes it a little more interesting. One other thing that crossed my Twitter feed was a shady tweet from Viviana. Haley, did you see this one?
Did I see it?
Is it still live? I do have a screenshot.
Let me look. I definitely retweeted it. So let me
Okay.
Hell yeah, I did. Okay, let me
scroll
through my own Twitter account as I do. Okay, yeah, it's still live.
Okay.
So it says, in quotes, charity event? You mean staying at my place for 4 days during the busiest week in Miami and leaving without saying goodbye or thank you? And this is quote tweeting an Us Weekly tweet saying, is Peter Krause dating Nikki Bella or Bibiana Julian or neither?
Yeah, so he was rumored.
He
was rumored to be connected to Bibiana at some point. And I think he was on Nikki Bella's show as a potential date for her. But in the article, it says that he met up with Bibiana for a charity event in Miami. So she's like, oh, what charity event? And so apparently, according to her, stayed at her place and left without saying goodbye or thank you. So nice to see that's still up. She commits to the shade. So
yeah, I appreciate it greatly.
Yes. Nice little bow on that story.
And there was one other thing that I discovered this week that I forgot to put on our rundown. So I am in the aforementioned Bachelor Party podcast Facebook group, which has been a real trove of information. It's a fantastic. Anyways, so somebody discovered that Cassie from The Bachelor, this is not her first stint on a reality television show.
Oh, really?
She was on a show called Young Ones. And let me just read the description to you from IMDb. Young Ones is a documentary series that follows a group of young Christians from Southern California on their quest to live counterculturally. Season one documented this eclectic group as... Give me a second. It's loading.
Jim, is this a show that you have heard of in your trashy reality shows?
I'm sorry, y'all. I did just drop for a second there.
No problem.
Okay. Season one documented this eclectic group as they attended one of America's most conservative private schools where alcohol, drugs, and sex are off limits. Season two continues the journey as they graduate and face a myriad of difficult decisions as young adults.
So is it called Young Ones or Young Once?
Young Once.
Young Once. Like you're only young once.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah,
I've never heard or seen of that, but that sounds totally crazy. How is that show even legal? Right.
I don't know. Am I going to watch this? Probably at some point.
And so I guess when was this out?
It's like a not old show.
Oh.
There's supposed to be like a new season coming out this year.
Wow. Never heard of that. Very interesting.
And Cassie's sister is Michelle Randolph, who is a actress. Her latest credit includes A Snow White Christmas, which I believe was a Hallmark Christmas movie. If I had to gather, it's based off of Snow White.
That makes sense.
It seems reasonable.
That's her real sister, not her sister from a past life.
Okay. We'll get into that.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
All right. I think that's all the news we have.
That's all the news we've got. We start the episode announcing that they're going to Singapore. But first, Chris Harrison, one of the lines he did have in this episode was mixing up Hannah and Kaylin, calling Hannah B. Kaylin. Now, Jim, do you think that was intentional to cause more drama or an honest slip up from Chris Harrison?
You know, if it was not a, I mean, I do not think it was a setup. It seemed really accidental, but if it was a setup, he did a great job of playing it because it just seemed so natural at the time.
Yeah, I think he knows, like, hey, these are the two players in this feud, and it just interchangeable probably in his mind with the lack of time he spends with them. Since you have met Hannah B before, are you team Hannah B of this feud?
Yeah, I am so team Hannah B. In fact, before this episode came out, I was totally willing to commit that Kaylin was the super villain of the season, but uh-huh. I really don't feel comfortable doing that anymore.
Right.
But you know, Hannah B, when I met her, was so sweet, and she seems really sweet on the episode. Like, I know that there was that weird scream thing that she did last episode, but I think that, you know, sometimes those producers are just trying to, you know, like, okay, now you're listening to Katy Perry. Now, what are you going to do? You know what I mean? Right. Like, you're going to give us your best yell or whatever, and your best roar.
Yes.
I think they're trying maybe to make her look a little kooky, but I think she's coming off as endearing to me. Like when she was guzzling wine, I thought it was great. Oh, hey, and let me tell you something about Roll Tide. I know y'all kind of joked about Roll Tide last week.
That's fine.
No. It's something that people who aren't from Alabama don't really understand, right. Is that Roll Tide is almost like a, it is a word, it's a phrase that can mean many, many things. It's almost like aloha. It can mean hello. It can mean goodbye. Mm. It can just something you say for a toast. Absolutely. People say Roll Tide at their children's births and at funerals. Oh, wow. So it is sort of a general multi-use. Like if you are a fan of the University of Alabama, it is more than just a greeting. It is it can mean a wide variety of things. So I understand why Hannah, when she's nervous, she lets out a Roll Tide, and I find that endearing, and I get it. It's something. It's something easy to say.
Oh,
it's something that she's probably comfortable saying.
Almost like a toast wouldn't really be complete unless you said that. So for her fitting that in, it's like, okay, at least I know this is a good thing to throw in because it's probably yeah. natural. Yeah, that's a good perspective. I am like comparing it to aloha.
That was the closest thing that I could think of that was even remotely close to how often it's used in conversation here.
Like you might just say it as a greeting to somebody that you don't really know or in a store or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Or like, say, for instance, if I'm in New York and I see somebody wearing an Alabama hat, and I say Roll Tide, and they'll say Roll Tide, roll right back at you. And then it's something that, you know, is a bond. It's a sort of like an inside language that people from the state use.
Gotcha. It's kind of like when my boyfriend wears his Packers shirt around Minnesota and somebody else sees them, they're like, go Pack.
Absolutely.
Yes. All right. So, Haley, were you excited about Singapore as the destination?
I am very excited. Singapore is fun and exciting. It's up and coming. And it means we don't have to, you know, peruse through some small town USA places that the producers are trying to convince us are the next new hot destinations. So I appreciate us just going to the big leagues.
Yeah. Why do you think that changed this year? For episode 4,
I have no
it's pretty
idea.
Unheard of to go so
yeah,
far.
Yeah, it's absolutely unheard of. Let me find this one chart. At _Shem on Twitter, she made a chart of like when they started to travel and when they internationally started to travel.
Wow.
So they have gone international right away based on her chart. After the In the fourth week, in Juan Pablo's season, they went to Seoul. In Emily Maynard's season, they went to Bermuda. And in Ashley's season, they went to Thailand in the fourth week.
Okay.
But mostly, you know, they're staying in the States. They've gone to Park City, Lake Tahoe, Hilton Head, Milwaukee, Pittsburgh, Las Vegas. So they don't usually start traveling international until the next week.
Mm, that makes sense. I'm surprised even next week, because I heard Becca Martinez talking about like, we were in Lake Tahoe, then we're in Fort Lauderdale for week 5. So
yeah,
they really
and Richmond,
out.
Virginia. Oh, wait. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
no, that was Becca's season.
Yeah.
Yeah. After Fort Lauderdale, they went to Paris, though. So maybe Becca don't complain that much.
That's true. But, it's, you know, you have to think if you're somebody like Tracy, who gets eliminated, pretty, you know, hey, at least you got this trip to Singapore. That's pretty unheard
of. Yeah, I'd be super happy. Yeah. I'm out in week four, but I still got to go to Singapore. Hell
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't care if the flight home's 18 hours. No. I got to go to Singapore.
Exactly. So, Jim, the first date, Tayshia gets a one-on-one. And it says, let's fall in love. And she thinks it's just, you know, waterfalls, maybe.
Can we back up 1 second?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Look, I want to say there were two things that, like, right when they first got to Singapore that I thought were just hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
The first is that it's clear that Colton's answering the question, what do you think of Singapore? And he says, Singapore, it has lights and it has buildings. It has the lights and it has the buildings. And I was like, what is he talking about? Like, yes, there are obviously a lot of neon and it looks like a gorgeous city. I've never been there. But I just couldn't believe, like, that was the best. No, I've never been out of the country before. Nothing like that. And right. nothing else says Singapore. Like, the first scene of the women in Singapore is at El Mero Mero Mexican restaurant, I did look them up. Their food looks actually way better than most of the food that you see on the Bachelor. But the first place they go is a Mexican restaurant, or at least the first place they film all the women there.
And then, I personally love when I get to a new country, going out on my balcony and yelling the name of that country out.
Yeah. Perfect. It's just all the stuff on the Bachelor itinerary of what you need to do. They have to have that balcony. I'm surprised there wasn't a date where they were like hang gliding past said balcony. But instead, we get the bungee jumping date. Jim, is this any type of date? I already know how Haley feels about it. So this is a type of date that you would have taken your wife on when you were dating.
I am not a fan of the bungee jumping at all. And as someone who is on my feet for so many hours a day in the kitchen, I just can look at that and know how my back would feel immediately after getting off. And I think that you can see Tayshia, like, I think you're supposed to go kind of head first so you don't get jerked around, but you can see her.
She whipped. Oh, yes. My gosh. She it was bad.
It looked painful. But I am a fan of, like, I love roller coasters and the sort of the bungee swing I'm good with, you know, the ones that go back and forth.
Right. It gives me chills thinking about it.
that bungee jump looked really high and really scary.
Yes.
Even like that dude who's holding their belts on the, you know, before they let them go, I'm like, oh my God, that guy, you know, like he's got to be strapped in.
He was like pushing them too. Yeah. I'm pretty sure he pushed Colton. He was like, I want to be with Tayshia. I'm going to just push this guy.
Yeah, I feel like there needs to be some sort of like last minute, like, okay, no, I don't want to do this anymore, like where you can call it. And no, that guy was ready to send you out. Once you're strapped in, it's, yeah, good luck to you.
Do you think that now that Colton's not bound by his NFL contract, that he'll be doing lots of like crazy things like buying motorcycles and bungee jumping and various dangerous activities?
Anything is possible.
He did strike me of the risk-taking type, but, you know.
No. He seems soft and gentle like me. This date is just an absolute nightmare to me, even more so than the children, even more so than having to work out in front of people. If you're new here, I am incredibly afraid of heights. I can't even look over a staircase without like getting weak in the knees. Watching this like made me panic. Like you could not pay me enough money to do this. Like if somebody offered me $1 million or to bungee jump, I don't think I could do it. I think I would pass out and fall off.
Yeah. So you just do it by default.
That's the only way you'd get me off that platform. I would pass out and fall off.
And
then just dangle it.
I have to agree.
Yeah, another thing, when I was watching the scene, and I'm sorry for your listeners out there who may not get this reference at all, but in the first Conan the Barbarian movie, I know this is a totally nerdy reference that I'm sure none of your listeners get, but James Earl Jones is standing on the bottom of this mountain and Arnold Schwarzenegger is all bloody on the bottom of underneath him. He says, you want to see power? And he holds his hands up just like Colton and he says, come to me. And this woman jumps off the cliff and and I was like, oh my God, like I kept seeing this flashback of this scene from Conan. And it was literally almost just like the movie, except, you know, imagine a bloody Arnold on the ground by Colton. It was really
scary.
It was really scary how similar it was, and just kind of creepy too. Like he's all like, come to me, jump off this giant thing. You know, it's very, I mean, I guess it is a good bonding experience. I guess if you go through something that, it, you know, adrenaline driven together, that it does probably build some bonds between you as, you know, a shared experience.
Yeah, I suppose. And it probably would have looked really bad if she, you know, just took the escalator back down or elevator back down once he jumped off. I'd have to find some excuse to get out of it. And my problem, I think, too, aside from just the sheer terror of it, is that they do have these dates and, you know, they do talk about that bond that they make. But I can't recall a time when the person that goes on that adrenaline date is the one that they pick on the end. I almost feel like the lead doesn't do that to like their favorite person, because it's like, oh, I wouldn't put you through something that you'll be scared by. And so it's like, it's just not a good sign for Tayshia in the long run, I feel like.
You think there's some sort of a danger association there? Like he associates her with risk?
Not so much that, but maybe more like, if let's say he's really into Hannah B. I'm not going to put Hannah B through that because I care about her too much. Or Tayshia, yeah, like she'll be game for this, but maybe it shows that he's not as like invested in her, if that makes sense.
Do the bachelors know what the date is before they pick the one-on-ones, or do they just say, for the one-on-one, I want this for this person for this date?
My understanding is that they know kind of what's coming up, so they'll save certain dates. Like we heard somebody talk about, like, I think like on Ari's season, he saved the dates for Lauren. You know, he didn't have a date till they were in Paris, and it's almost like, well, he's saving it because he knows he wants to keep her around, but it's a more special date than something early on, like when they are in Lake Tahoe or something like that. So they have an awareness of like, oh, I'll use this person for this type of date.
Yeah. Like, and I can see that being the case because Hannah G hasn't even gotten a date yet. And I would have expected her to get a one-on-one date in like the first 2 weeks, and she hasn't yet. So I could see Colton learning Hannah. Did that make sense?
Oh, that makes sense, I think.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes, the first impression rose, and she, you know, seems like she's holding it together still. Not totally.
Yeah, so maybe
it.
Hannah's going to get two dates within 2 weeks.
That'd be interesting. Yes. We also saw Tayshia during dinner reveal that she was married before, which I don't think we knew, you know, from their very limited bios. But
no, that was a shocker.
Yeah. Haley, how do you think Colton reacted to that?
I will give Colton a lot of credit in this episode and so far throughout the season. When he hears news that maybe somebody doesn't really not want to share, but like, you know, it's hard for them to share, he reacts very well to it. And I felt like Colton responded to this situation super well by saying, you know, my parents are divorced. You know, it's just a thing that you go through sometimes and you come out the other side stronger and et cetera, et cetera. And I think Tayshia really responded to it well. And I feel like this was a positive conversation for them to have.
Yeah. Jim, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought it was really good conversation. I think that, he does seem to react to all of these. Like, this episode is full of people's, you know, disclosures, and he seems to be able to deal and to accept and to understand very well. I bet a lot of that has to do with maybe his charity, the work with his charity. Like, I think he knows and understands how to empathize with people probably better than I thought he would have before the season started.
Yeah, that's a really good observation. A really great quality. I did like how he brought up his parents, and he can kind of find ways to relate in different ways and make the women feel at ease when they say these kind of things. And then they just capped off the date with another, luckily she did not have a fear of heights. This was tamer, but for a giant Ferris wheel, which Haley, I like a lot more than the private concert. How about you?
Yes, but I'm still out personally on Ferris wheels.
Not even a Ferris wheel. I mean, enclosed.
No, I don't do up high well. Okay. In April, Ethan and I went on the London Eye, and that was a lot emotionally for me. And so Ethan has been watching the shows with me, and he was like, there's no way this one's bigger than that. And we looked it up, and yes, it's like 16 feet taller than the London Eye.
Okay.
So hard pass. Sorry. Thank you. No, I'm okay.
Yes. But Jim, what better way to see all the lights, all the buildings, right?
Absolutely. When they were on that date, you know, like how long is the London Eye? I'm sure that was empty, so they didn't have to stop every time. But those giant Ferris wheels are long. They take a long time to get to the top. I just kept thinking it was probably pretty awkward to have like a camera crew and producer in there, and then just like them stuck on this Ferris wheel. I guess maybe not much more awkward than normal, but I thought it was cool. I'm a fan.
Yeah, that's a good point. Maybe they're used to it by now. I feel like they get these like places to themselves. They go after hours or something. So maybe they didn't have to stop to like load more people on at least. But speaking of awkward, we have the group date. So this is like one of those dates that normally I feel like is when it's like when they're down to final three, there's always somebody who gets a date where they get to travel around the town and go to little shops and try foods, but this was 13 women on one date trying to get Colton's attention. Haley, what were your thoughts about making this as a group date?
I kind of liked it as a group date. I thought it was fun that everyone got to have the opportunity to really see the city, because a lot of the times they're in the city, but they don't really get to see it. Mm-hmm. So I enjoyed this date. Them getting to sit down to try some food was interesting. Obviously, there is some issues with some pretty white women being grossed out at food that is often popular in Asian cultures. But, you know, that's the Bachelor for you. And some of the things, like Cassie was whatchamacallum's sister in a former life, Hannah trying to get his attention a bunch of times, Demi hugging him. A lot of this just felt a little cringe to me.
Yeah. Made for some interesting moments, not to mention the leeches. So,
the leeches.
Jim, I'd love to get your take on the different foods that they tried and your thoughts on the date overall.
Well, first of all, I did check it out. Boontop Street Barbecue Seafood was the name of the place they were at, and they do have a 1-star rating on Yelp, but to be fair, they only have one review.
Okay.
So that's probably not the best.
Maybe that was
judge.
From Hannah G. She wasn't into it at all.
But really, you know, as far as like out there Asian foods that they could have eaten, I thought this was really pretty tame. And actually, in the post show clip, you get to see a little bit more. But bullfrog, pig's feet, eel, fish is relatively tame. And he wasn't forcing them to eat balut or anything that they could have gotten there. So I enjoyed it. I thought it was cool that, you know, Hannah B ate the fish eye, which is a delicacy when you get the whole fish preparation in a lot of Asian cuisine. And, you know, it's definitely texturally weird, but she was brave enough to give it a go. So, yeah, I enjoyed this date. There was lots of awkwardness, and I thought the leeches were fun, too. It was something that I've never seen on a television show before, but something exciting. So,
yeah. And with both the foods and the leeches, it seemed like there were only a couple women that really were making an effort, at least the way it was edited. And Hannah B was one of those people who, you know, she definitely said she was feeling a little off and wanted to get his attention, or was feeling like he wasn't noticing her. But it also seemed like it was part of her personality to, you know, be comfortable with those kind of things and be a little more risk taking than, whereas I felt like some of the other women had a really bad attitude throughout. Haley, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought some of it was strange. I think we can hop right to like the cocktail party part of the group date, where all of the women were going to talk to Colton, and some of them twice, and Courtney didn't go talk to him, and she got upset with Demi that Demi went to go talk to him twice. And gosh, Demi's fun here because she's such a complicated character, and I really appreciate when our reality television characters aren't just one thing, because Demi could easily just be strictly a villain, but I don't think she's that, because she's, you know, there's some things that people are getting mad at her for that just don't make any sense. But then she like goes ahead and calls somebody like the cancer of the group, which is just like, what are you doing? Like, what's wrong with you? But she's right. She and all the other women were encouraging Courtney, like, just go talk to him. This is your chance. Like, what are you doing? And she wasn't. Like, I'm not sure what her game plan was. Like, maybe she was hoping that Colton was so into her that he'd like break up the conversation he was having with whatever woman he was with, just to be like, you know what, I need to go talk to Courtney now. But like, I'm sorry, Courtney, that's not how this works. I feel like you could have picked that up in the last 3 weeks, even if you're not like the regular viewer of this show.
Yeah. Jim, how have you felt about Demi so far? We've been higher on her than it seems like the general consensus of people, but she did have sort of highs and lows this episode. Are you a Demi fan?
Yes, I am 100% behind Demi. I think that she is awesome. She tells the other women exactly what it is. She hasn't given anybody bad advice. And yes, she has been a little bit, she was a little bit more blunt about the, you know, and she had some sort of low points in this episode. But at the same time, Courtney, I mean, how can Courtney be mad at her when she's just saying, look, go talk to him. You know what I mean? Like, look, seriously, stop complaining. You're just whining. What are you doing? If you want to talk to him, go get him. You know? And
yeah.
I think that she looks so young that the other women on the show, even though they're the same age, they talk down to her and they think that she is not mature. But when you listen to what she's saying, she is a strong, confident woman who she's there for Colton. I believe that truly. Like, I don't believe that she's there for just to be on TV. I mean, I think that she would be more, I think that she would tell the cameras that if she was there to win. So I'm a Demi fan.
Yeah. She's really stuck to the line. Like, I'm here for Colton. I'm treating this date as if it was just a one-on-one, which is a smart move to make. And then we do see a lot of times where she's just kind of, they show her, like, after she got the group date rose, for example, she's saying, like, you know, this, like, I wasn't expecting this. This feels great. You know, it's really reassuring. But she's not saying anything that, like, any other woman wouldn't say. It's maybe just their perception of her. And it really seems to be that there's only a few people who have issues with her on any particular episode. So it was Tracy, and now it moved on to Courtney. And I have to agree that she just, it, you wonder why, you know, Courtney's seemingly going to find Colton, and then she gets carried away talking to Demi again, and that's what she puts her effort in. So I don't know what she can expect.
And it's not like it's a Catherine situation where Demi interrupted everything that was going on four different times. Like, that wasn't the case. Like, she was probably going to the bathroom and then he was there. So she's like, well, why not take up this opportunity? And, you know, it's not like she interrupted Courtney talking to him. Like, that didn't happen. No. So I'm not really sure why Courtney's so upset in this. And it seems like, I think Courtney might be upset with herself, and she's like projecting it onto Demi. And I'm not Taylor, so I'm no psychotherapist or anything, but like, that really feels like what's going on. Like, she's mad at Demi.
Well, it almost, like, that conversation reminded me of when Taylor was talking to Corinne about emotional intelligence. She was really just talking down to Demi, even though Demi pointed out that they are the same age.
Demi doesn't seem as dense as Corinne did. Like, Corinne, it just seemed like she didn't have any awareness of what was going on around her. And where I see, like, Demi does have that awareness, but Demi reaches her breaking point where it's like she can only, you know, satisfy these women for so long before she's like, you know what? Like, I can't please you, so why am I trying? Because that happened with Tracy, and it was happening with Courtney. And then you don't want to get on Demi's bad side. And I don't condone what Demi said about Courtney or Tracy, you know, but like, the beginning of this was like not on Demi, it was on Courtney, and she's just mad at Demi because she's easy to be mad at.
Yeah, for sure. So we'll see that come out later in the before the rose ceremony. Jim, were there any other pairings that stuck out to you from this date when they had like their time together? I know with Hannah B, they had their kind of closure or getting back on track. Did you like to see that he said, like, I feel like I have Hannah B back?
Yeah, I thought that was really good. I think that so many times on the show, when you go to talk trash about another person, you're just immediately done. And I think that she's actually done a really good job of rebounding and getting back in his good graces, which I think is probably a very hard thing to do. And when you just are seeing somebody in these like 5-10 minute, you know, chunks. I will say something else that I thought was really weird is, did y'all notice how like there were, it was almost like a like first dates, or like what, like a the limousine introduction in episode one where Katie was giving him chopsticks and Sydney. Sydney, the NBA dancer, was for some reason bandaging his arm, and Hannah G was doing a palm reading. Like, I really didn't. I was like, "What is going on? Why? Like, is really putting a bandage on Colton's arm gonna help you stick out? Like, I don't. It was. I just thought it was weird. You know?
Yeah. Apparently, they all like. Yeah, they were recreating night one. It seems like that's a really good observation.
That's super funny. Yeah, like I like the chopsticks move because they had a conversation the week before about how much they like sushi. But the palm reading was a little weird. Hannah G's odd to me. I don't get her, maybe because I don't know anything about her. And just to piggyback on what Jim was saying, I felt like Hannah B had a really good episode this episode. I felt like she was able to really turn things around. She, like you said, she was able to get back in Colton's good graces, and she apologized to Kaylin, which I thought was a good look on her, and, you know, to just kind of let these things go. So hopefully that will continue into the next few episodes.
Yeah. Other than those, the other one that stood out to me was Cassie and Colton. They sort of laughed off we mentioned that the fortune teller said that they were siblings in a past life. So, Haley, would that have been a deal breaker if that was early on with you and Ethan and you had gone to the fair and there was a reading like that?
I don't think so. Ethan's not super into believing those kinds of things. I think I would take more stock into it. That's why I don't ever want to go to a psychic again, because I don't want them to be like, no, you're making a horrible life choice.
Right. Yeah. So they were able to, kind of laugh it off, I guess, and make out. So I suppose that's a good thing. Yeah. And I agree about, Hannah B, that usually, those kind of things can really, you could see her kind of, you know, showing her nerves, but she was showing that in her confessionals and she didn't really let it get her down on the date. And I think that this date solidified, and then her making up, I think maybe would not have been able to do that if the date had gone south or if she was still left feeling unsure. But I think it was smart of Colton to just say, hey, you know what, I don't know who's right, who's wrong. I'm just going to be accepting of the fact that you're not getting along, and you may never get along. And then I think they needed that to move forward. So that worked out. Didn't work out for maybe viewers that want more drama, but you never know, it could come back. So
I felt satisfied with, like, if this was the conclusion of their storyline, I feel satisfied with it.
Yeah.
Something else that I thought was really weird in the group date was when they cut back to Kaylin and Tayshia in the hotel together, and they're like, oh, it's so weird. Like, how could it be for those women out there on a group date with them? And it was so terrible not to be by her. I was like, what? That's just another one of those things that's so counterintuitive. Like, you know that this is going to be you next week, right? I mean, like, you're going to be on a group date. And it was just a really strange conversation, a strange cut back to them at the hotel, I thought.
Yeah, and Tayshia really didn't seem into, you know, going along with this at all. She was just like, oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they're not going to be on a one-on-one next week. So it always comes around. But they always try to have these forced conversations to create some drama back at the mansion, no matter who it is. But yeah, in this case, it was Kaylin to be able to observe about, yeah, she's going to get back to her old ways or something like that. Well, speaking of, oh, we also didn't mention Demi opened up to Colton about her mother recently being released from federal prison. So I don't have any backstory on that, but again, it was another case where Colton seemed to take that pretty well. What did you think, Haley?
I completely agree with you. You know, he seems to handle these things in stride and really be able to comfort the women in this. And I think that's really great. I like Colton a lot in these moments.
Yeah, and it earned her the group date rose. And definitely those reaction shots from Courtney and Tracy. Tracy, pretty invisible. Several of the women I thought were completely invisible this episode. Mm-hmm. Elise, for example. But moving on to the one-on-one. So this is that classic one-on-one, Jim. We see it almost every season where there's a woman who gets spoiled and gets to, like, spend, you know, free reign at a designer store, and they definitely knew who to pick, I think, to create the most drama, at least, you know, unfortunately against your Hannah B. But so it's Kaylin who gets to go to this. I can't remember the name of the designer, but
I've got him.
You got it?
It's a Lisa Von Tang.
Okay.
Yes. And Envie Dupois, which I did. I went to both of their websites. And nice. Lisa Von Tang is expensive, but not outrageously expensive. Like, you can get a cool jacket for like $300 or $400. And okay. she sells these weird socks that are like tennis shoes. They're socks, but they have rubber soles, like thick rubber soles on the bottom. So she has some cool stuff. But Envie Dupois, you, Haley, you speak some French, right?
Un petit peu.
Doesn't that mean like a want peas?
I'd have to see it written out.
Okay.
Envie.
I'm more of a like, reader than a...
J'ai envie. Yeah, is that to want?
Envie. Yes. Envie, right? E-N-V-I-E.
Okay, let me do this.
It's not envy. Okay. Like, it looks like envy, right? But it's not envy. Pois. Like P-O-I-X? Or
P-O-I-S.
S. Oh. It's almost like a cool band name or something. Wanting peas. Or is that like a...
No, this is hilarious.
No, it's just one of those things where it's like a...
So like, it just sounds cool and, you know, no one speaks French. And so it's like, hey, this just looks like, I don't know, like just appropriating a foreign word.
I'm not sure either. I will tell you that is much more of a design studio where they have different designers come in and sell pieces there, and definitely no prices are listed on the website. So that's probably a good indication of what.
Yes.
Amy, do you like how Jim does his homework way better for this podcast than we ever do?
Yeah. I think we need a Top Chef guest every week. They do their research. No, that's great, because, you know, we never know like who the singers are.
No, we just like don't even hear it, and just we glaze over in those moments.
Yes. But one thing we did notice was that she had like 800 bags coming back to the suite. Definitely, yeah, necessary to return,
like,
right?
Yeah, I feel like they could have just put everything in two bags and called it a day, but like they had to have all the extra bags for just visual effect.
Yeah, it was like the Pretty Woman moment, like coming to the store and going down Rodeo Drive with all the bags. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I thought it was cute when the two Hannahs were talking. And I think they're both from Alabama. Is that right?
Alabama Hannahs.
Yes. It's perfect.
Have you ever run into influencer Hannah or just Pad Queen Hannah?
No, I did reach out to some of my PR friends in Birmingham who... you know, work at PR firms. I thought maybe since she's a content developer, yeah, that maybe they might have known her, but none of my peeps know of her.
Okay. They may afterwards, now that she's had her exposure.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, I thought it was a cute conversation where I think Hannah was like, oh, I think she'll really like to be pampered. And then she sort of laughs like, oh, I didn't even mean it bad. Like, it just like, but with that lens, like, you just think that she's saying it bad. And then but what if he buys her a dress and shoes? That was so cute. Like, yeah, he's gonna buy, like, not him, but yeah, on the Bachelor's dime, she got quite a few outfits out of it.
Yeah, like, I know that they're only allowed a certain amount of suitcases. Like, does the person who gets the shopping date get an extra suitcase for the rest of the journey?
Yeah, I would hope so.
Hopefully they don't have to throw stuff away, you know, to make room.
Yeah. Now, Jim, I'd love your perspective, because, you know, I don't even love like trying clothes on, but, you know, if I'm in the right mood, I think it's kind of fun. But they talked about how it was like such a fun experience. Now, is it that fun to be the guy just standing there watching and waiting without like for outfits to be tried on?
No.
Okay. Colton was selling us something.
Yes, he was. It's one of those things where, look, I like fashion, and I enjoy reading up on fashion and men's fashion and women's fashion. I always try to check out like what's hot at, you know, like Paris Fashion Week, just check out the ridiculous stuff. But actually, like, going in a store and like standing around and waiting for somebody in the dressing room is just not fun. No. Especially when, you know, everyone just orders stuff online these days. And so you can shop in like 30 seconds. And, you know, it's so much easier than having to wait around for somebody to get dressed. It's just not very much fun.
Yeah, they had her measurements. Why not just give her the bag and leave? Pick out a few for the date. She did look great in everything she tried on, of course. But yes, that was a little much to be like, oh, this was such a bonding experience. But they do have, it was hyped up, like a promo, like a very, important conversation, you know, not to be missed. And so I knew, you know, something serious was going to be happening, but, I wasn't really prepared for just how serious this conversation was. Haley, did you have, indications going in? Had you seen the promos, for their dinner conversation?
I don't think I saw the promos, but I saw, I think, Entertainment Weekly put out an article. I didn't read it. I kind of wanted to just hear it firsthand for myself. And I think the fact that Kaylin opened up about this on such a large platform is incredibly brave of her. And I think it just shines another spotlight on what a serious issue this is for women and for people. And, you know, and she has a fairly unique story in that she did try and go get checked out by a doctor and they turned her away. And I didn't even realize that was a thing that could mm-hmm. happen, that they would get turned away for a rape kit. It never even crossed my mind that somebody could get turned away for that. And I did some reading, and in certain cases, they might not have a nurse available to do it. And that's why somebody could get turned away. I don't know the situation in that. And she tried to get some justice out of it, and she didn't really have a satisfying end to any of that. And that's a very, very typical story in these situations. And it's so sad. It's so awful. And I think what Kaylin did was really great in that she really helps other people understand that they're not alone, because it can be a very, it makes you feel very alone. And so I'm glad that Kaylin can speak out about something like this.
Yeah, definitely. You think about, you know, how many seasons of the show we've gone through and the statistics of how many women this happens to, but for her to really be the first person to, you know, acknowledge it, speak about it on the show that I'm aware of, is very brave and can help a lot of people, I think. Jim, how do you think the show handled it?
I think that the show handled it really well. And it does seem like even outside of the show, this is her platform. And I'm really not sure if it was part of her Miss America platform, but there are a lot of articles online where she has been speaking out about this for a long time. And I think that you've got to, it's like I said before this episode, and I was prepared to make her the villain, but this story is just so horrifying and so touching. And just listening to her talk about, and watching her be able to talk about it without breaking down, it just is a really good indicator of her strength as a person, and how, you know, even though her fight for justice wasn't really very fruitful, she is doing her best to get out there and to talk about it. And that's something that's incredibly brave, and something that, you know, it's just, that story was just devastating. Like, I don't know.
It was so bad. It was so much worse than you could have ever even thought, just seeing like that headline, like, oh, a Bachelor contestant talks about her former sexual assault. Mm-hmm. Like, this was just beyond what you could ever imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I've been a believer for a long time that there should never be a thing that's called date rape. And I know that that's a, you know, rape is rape. There shouldn't have any sort of prefix on it, any sort of qualifier describing what it is. And even some of the articles that I read, I saw that some people were talking about date rape, and this is not at all what happened. You know, she was drugged and tortured, and then later to find out that it was by more than one person. It's just freaking mind blowing mm-hmm. that
and
there
two of her friends
people,
as well.
Yeah, two of her friends as well, and these are people that she was going to school with. Like, all of those things are just so, I mean, it's hard for me to believe that there are people out there who would do stuff like that. I mean, I obviously believe that it happened, you know, but it's just mind blowing. It's just so hard for me to grasp that there are evil people out there in the world who would do such crazy things to someone who seems as, you know, someone like well, anybody really, you know, and I thought the show did a good job. Like, I don't really, especially after Bachelor in Paradise, like, I think that this is something that's way, I think that they handled it with respect. And I thought that Kate, that I really thought that Colton's response to it was really good. I mean, I did find it kind of weird that they immediately went to go and like immediately cut to them, like, strolling through the trees and making out. Like, I don't really know how I would respond to that as a guy. But I mean, I'm sure there was time in between there. But it was, I mean, it was powerful television.
Yeah. And one thing that Colton also brought up, he alluded to his first love, his first relationship. So Haley, you know, he's talking about Allie Reisman, correct?
Yeah. So Allie has been one of the faces of the Larry Nassar sex scandal, which is, if you haven't heard of it, it's truly the most horrific thing you could ever think of. This guy just abused hundreds of young women over decades. And it was all hidden and people knew about it, but weren't willing to stand up for people. So it's just so horrific. And that, so Colton has had experience with this in the past, so that, you know, the way he could talk to Kaylin about it was, I thought very mature for Colton. I think he does have this maturity that I don't think some of the leads have had in the past. Like, I don't want to imagine Ari having this conversation. So I'm impressed with how Colton was able to handle it. He didn't really make it about him. He's sharing, and he was making sure that she felt comfortable, which was all he could do.
Yeah. And, you know, when I was sort of watching and taking down notes, when I heard him bring up his virginity, and at first I was like, is he trying to like equate these two stories? And then I realized that I think what he was alluding to is that, like, you know, he has complex reasons for why he is a virgin. I think he was sort of alluding to, like, this was his first relationship, and that maybe that wasn't something that, you know, he was comfortable with in that relationship or something along those lines. I think he wanted to, like, you know, he said it in a, like, respectful way, but I think there was tying those two things together about his first love, and that he has many reasons and factors for that. But I did like that also he could really help her feel safe and comfortable and really express that to her. And she, you know, had said that, you know, she wouldn't have brought it up if she didn't feel there, that they had a genuine connection. And then, let's see, anything else from the state? It was just very powerful and very hard to hear that story, but very important.
Yeah, I think that might be it with that date. We can move on to the S show of a cocktail party.
Let's do it. So this is where, in the cocktail party ahead of the rose ceremony, we see that infamous line of Demi calling Courtney the cancer of the house. A little bit of an overreaction. Jim, what were your thoughts on the ongoing feud here?
Yeah, I think that Demi had been doing such a good job of, like, restraining what she was saying. I mean, I still think that she's completely in the right about all this, but I mean, I don't think that Demi, I mean, that Courtney was a cancer on the house. But I, you know, if she is a person who is doing nothing but complaining about the amount of time that she's seeing Colton, I mean, that does have to be a drag for everybody. And she was too harsh for sure, but, you know, it seemed almost reasonable. I certainly would have never used the cancer of the house, but
yeah, that's like just super extreme. Just like, it's just like unnecessary. You could say like she sucks, but like to say like she's the cancer of the house, like that's just not true at all. Courtney might not be super pleasant, but like she doesn't seem awful.
Do you think she was fed that line?
Oh, no, I think Demi's pretty good at coming up with her own lines.
One line that she was really upset about, she said that how Courtney said that she was playing God. And she said that was one of the worst things you could ever hear. Is that, I don't know, to me that's not like a huge insult, but
I guess not, but also like, was she, it's stupid, like she wasn't playing God, right. Like, I don't, she was no. Just I don't know, this is all so stupid, like I just don't get it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Well, we let's see, any other, were there any other things happening with anyone else at this?
It looked to me like at the cocktail party, the only three people who got time were Demi, Courtney, and Hannah. And I thought that the Hannah cocktail, it was not really at the cocktail party.
It was not at the cocktail party, no.
It was in a bedroom. It was in a hotel room on the bed. And the strange thing about it was like, Hannah kept talking about trying to open up, but there was certainly never any of her opening up except for saying that she was willing to. But then at the end of it, it showed them like making the bed together. I was like, what? This is really strange.
Where
like,
was that?
Like, they were like so putting weird. Putting the throw on the end of the bed, like making sure that no one knew that they were locked up in a hotel room together. I didn't know. It was
like, guys, strange. There's cameras right there. Like, we know what happened.
Yeah, and in the preview for next week, we saw something else. Someone else is in a bed with him somewhere. So maybe this is the move to pull him aside. But yeah, that was very odd. So we did see that Courtney was one of the women who did not get a rose. It was Courtney and Tracy. And so obviously we see Demi smiling huge because those were her two nemeses. But I don't think it had anything to do with what Demi said, but maybe it was just edited that way. I just think Colton probably wasn't talking to her on the group date, because I'm getting the sense that he wants to kind of fade out with the people that he's gonna not give the rose to. We saw that, Haley, you and I, we talked about how some of the women didn't get dates and then they'd be eliminated that week. What do you think?
I think a big portion of it was that, like, she also wasn't willing to go talk to him. Like, why bother keeping somebody around like that? I don't really think what Demi said had anything to do with anything. But gosh, how could that have not been better for Demi than have Tracy and Courtney leave in one shot?
Right. Jim, any predictions on who might have an issue with Demi next? Because we can't go on with just like everybody being fine, right?
Yeah, I think maybe Elise. You know, maybe Elise will hear some of the Cougar Club talk or something like that. Maybe. I don't know. I suspect that she will have somebody else targeting her soon enough, though.
Mm-hmm. And then the preview looked pretty interesting, actually mentioning Elise. It looked like she had some kind of meltdown coming up. Of course, could be a misdirect.
I may be wrong about that. Yeah, that's true. It could be a misdirect.
But something to pay attention to here. Any other thoughts from the episode from either of you before we get into the questions?
Yeah, I do have one more kind of thing to say is that before I was a chef, even when I was a chef, I was a debater in high school and in college, and also a speech and debate coach and assistant debate coach at a high school. And so I had the pleasure of working with beauty pageant contestants in order to help them with answering their questions and getting up on politics and sort of the right way to respond to the questions they don't know the answers to. And I will say that this world of beauty pageants is a cutthroat world of people willing to spend tons of money to do whatever it takes to win and training. And even though Hannah B is coming off awesome, she, in my mind, is no doubt a smart cookie. The same way with Kaylin, is that those two people, they probably have both been instilled this competitive drive that they understand through training, and it can be kind of a cutthroat world, and something that I have some ancillary experience with, but just something that I always keep in the back of my mind when you hear like a beauty queen on the television.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, seems like maybe classic or just dream casting for if you're a reality TV casting director looking for someone with those qualities, I think would be pretty good for ratings or just different archetypes for your characters, I would think. So that does make sense to me as well. And then it's reminding me that I tuned into part of Becca Martinez, her podcast, who she had a podcast on her due date. She's pregnant 40 weeks and does recaps of The Bachelor as well that are, she said something about, she had read some story about how Hannah B applied to this season and that maybe Kaylin knew about it, but that Hannah B was the one who had, was totally unaware that Kaylin would be appearing. But that Kaylin was maybe the one who knew and applied, because obviously, the producers had to know that there was some history there. So one of them would have had to say something. So why would they bring it up if they didn't know the other person was there? It didn't seem like it would just be like happenstance that they'd luck upon this kind of like,
oh no,
drama.
Absolutely not. I did not believe for one single second that they just happened to know each other. There's no way. Come on.
It's just chance that they both applied.
Yeah. So. And then, no, nothing on The Bachelor is chance.
Right. Exactly. So let's see. Before we get into questions, have a sponsor. Couple of sponsors that I would love to talk about. So one of them is HelloFresh. So Jim, Haley and I, we are not professional chefs. So nope. We need all the help we can get.
We're food appreciators, but I don't think either of us are particularly talented in the food making department.
No. So one way that we both have relied on to spruce up our skills in the kitchen and have better meals and excitement about our food is HelloFresh. HelloFresh is a meal kit delivery service that shops, plans, and delivers step-by-step recipes and pre-measured ingredients. So you can just cook, eat, and enjoy. Haley, what has been one of your favorites with HelloFresh?
I had, what was it? A tangy guacamole, burrito bowl that was really delicious, and a bunch of friends came over and we all had it and everyone really enjoyed it. And then I had gnocchi bolognese. That was really delicious. Gosh, all those silent G's just really get me. That they were both really delicious, super easy, fun, different recipes that I would really never think to make. So I love getting those, especially right to my door. And Amy, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I made some New Year's resolutions. Mm-hmm. One of those was to do some more cooking, you know, trying to treat myself a little bit better. And one great way to do that is through HelloFresh. They make achieving your 2019 goals easy by enjoying delicious home-cooked meals, and it makes conquering the kitchen in 2019 a reality with deliciously simple recipes. So even me, I can do it.
Yes, and me as well. One of the ones I really liked, it's called Grilled Cheese and Veggie Jumbo, but the cheese, like, it's not a grilled cheese like you would think. It's the grilling cheese, so there's no bread, but they kind of have like a breaded...
Like a halloumi almost?
I don't even know what that is.
Okay, it's delicious.
But like a breaded type cheese. So Jim could probably weigh in on the official name of it, but
fried cheese is delicious.
Yes, very good. And it's surrounded by veggies and avocado, grape tomatoes, and a cilantro chimichurri. So it's, you know, you're not just eating cheese. You have the healthy balance.
Although
there.
I would.
Yeah.
I would just eat cheese.
Well, what I liked about this one too is like you use half of it for the recipe and then you have like a half of the grilling cheese that you can use for whatever later on. So you even get extra stuff with some of these ones. So it's really a fun way to make deliciousness part of your every week. And there's three plans to choose from: classic, veggie, and family. So I did the veggie. You must have done classic, Haley, with the bolognese. And there's fresh, pre-measured ingredients and easy to follow 6-step pictured recipe cards delivered right to your door in a special insulated box. So you don't have to worry about getting home right away to pick it up, and you can time your deliveries, pick what day of the week is most convenient to you, and really get out of that recipe rut.
Although this time of year where both of you and I live, Amy, if it sat on the front step for a while, it'd be probably fine. Okay. Yeah.
Exactly.
Nice and cold.
Totally. I think it's going to be like 30 below here tomorrow. So Yes, I'm not even exaggerating. I wish I was. So we have a really great offer here. Take advantage of HelloFresh's special offer for 2019. Get $80 off your first month by going to HelloFresh.com/Bachelor80 and enter promo code Bachelor80. So that's HelloFresh.com/Bachelor80 and enter the promo code Bachelor80. And it's like getting 8 meals free, $20 off your first 4 boxes. So an excellent
there's nothing better than offer. Free food.
No, cannot beat it. All right. And another wonderful sponsor that I would love to introduce you to, Haley, is Lola.
Please tell me more.
All right. So Lola has changed my life. It is amazing because one of the things I hate doing, my least favorite errand, is to go to the drugstore and get my feminine products. So Lola is a female.
Sometimes
founder.
I like to take Ethan to that department and tell him which, like, if I was stuck in my bed,
yeah,
what do you think I would get you to buy me?
Oh, like,
but with Lola, it's not necessary.
No. So Lola is a female founded company offering a line of organic cotton tampons, pads, liners, and all natural cleansing wipes. And the founders, Jordana Keir and Alexandra Friedman, started their company with a simple and seemingly obvious idea. Women shouldn't have to compromise when it comes to feminine care. They ask themselves, if we care about the ingredients in food we eat and the beauty products we use, why shouldn't the same be true of our feminine care products? So unlike other major brands, Lola products are 100% natural. No BS, mystery fibers, or doubts about what's going into your body. So this was something that, speaking of like 2019 goals, I like to be aware of the ingredients in my food and start looking at with my beauty products as well. But this was something
where things are coming from and what's in them.
What's in them? You
know, yeah.
And, you know, I just gotten complacent about this. It's like, well, these are the brands that I see at the store. This is what's available, and didn't really put effort into looking into anything else. With Lola, you can make that positive change for yourself, and it's delivered right to your door. Feminine products that you can choose, customize the box, tailor your subscription, choose either a combo of organic cotton tampons, pads, liners, and wipes, and build your box for the right absorbency that you want, decide how many boxes you'd like delivered and your frequency. The pads, liners, and the tampons have BPA-free plastic applicators, or you can do the environmentally friendly non-applicators tampons. So it's just fully customizable. I also just love the, maybe sounds weird to say, but the packaging of it is just very discreet, nice, light, pale blue, navy blue. It doesn't look like anything, you know. So if you're somebody like me who's just, you know, weirdly sensitive about, you know, when people are looking in your medicine cabinet or something, yeah, you can just leave this totally out. It looks really nice. And, you know, Ethan would have no idea what was in these boxes. I'll tell you that.
Poor Ethan.
Yes. You would have trouble if you quizzed him on what it was, I think.
He does that. He has trouble with quizzing anyway.
And did you know the FDA doesn't require brands to disclose a comprehensive list of ingredients in their feminine care products? So most don't.
I did not know that, and I hate that.
Yeah. So Lola has complete transparency about the ingredients found in their tampons, pads, liners, and wipes. And it's founded by women for women, and you also do good with your purchase. For every purchase, they donate feminine care products to homeless shelters across the U.S., which is just awesome. And we also have a very special offer as well with Lola. For 40% off all subscriptions, visit mylola.com and enter promo code BACH. That's B-A-C-H. So it's mylola, mylola.com, promo code BACH when you subscribe. All right. So thank you to those wonderful sponsors. Now to, in my opinion, our wonderful draft, because I'm doing pretty well and so far.
Yeah, I don't even know who this new look draft Amy is.
I know. What's going on? Tayshia helped me out this week with the one-on-one. And I have 96 points with 6 players left. Haley, you are in second place with 72 points, 4 of them left. And Kirsten, just 1 point behind now, 71 points with 3 people left. And Kaylin is the top point getter for everyone, and she is on Kirsten. She was Kirsten's number 1 pick. And then I have Demi, Tayshia, and Hannah B, who are all kind of bringing in quite a bit of points. And you have Elise, who has also garnered quite a few points.
Yeah, how did Elise become my top point getter? That makes no sense.
That is odd, because she was totally invisible this episode.
Jim, do you like to do drafts for reality television, or is that one aspect of reality television fandom that you stray away from?
No, I would love to do it, but I don't know enough people around me who are as much into reality television as I am. So I don't really know
where
anybody to draft with. Yes.
Yeah.
That's why you made friends on the internet like we did.
Exactly. Yes. So, I wouldn't have had anyone also, but luckily
we found ourselves in this weird
stumbled
little
into
world.
It. Yes.
Yes.
And we luckily have George at George CTV, who counts all these shenanigans for us and has a spreadsheet to total it all, because we would not have committed that hard otherwise.
Do you think the governor of Alabama would want to do a bachelor draft with you?
I doubt it.
Okay. Shot.
She's awesome, but I doubt it.
Maybe the boll weevil queen and the rattlesnake. It's all the queens.
Oh, yeah. I could round up the beauty queens.
Although, you can't have Hannah in the league this year, because something tells me she knows a little something.
Oh, yes. All right. We have moving on to our questions. We have an email. And Haley, remind the audience where they can email us.
You can send me an email at bachelorrehapup@gmail.com. Somebody emailed me this week with my tweet during Rent Live saying, I will sing Take Me or Leave Me anytime somebody asks. And they said, will you sing it on the podcast? And no, I won't. Sorry.
They called you on it.
Yeah, they called me on it. And I'm the worst. So sorry. I don't have enough drinks in me to do that and have it permanently recorded. If we ever run into each other IRL, I will do it for you. I just don't want that on a podcast.
Just got to pull out like a Tom from Celebrity Big Brother and be like, you know, it's not the right audience, not in my setting. So I'm not just going to perform for you.
Depends on my warm-ups yet. You know, I'm very passionate about vocal stuff.
Yes. All right. Well, this email. Hey, Haley and Amy, is Demi drunk in every scene she's in? If not, what gives her the courage to say everything that crosses her mind? Stay crushing it. Brett from Birmingham. All right, so it's Brett from Birmingham. Jim, I think you should answer this question. What gives her the courage to say everything that crosses her mind? Is it alcohol?
No, I don't think so. I think that she is totally willing to say whatever is crossing her mind at any given time. If you ask her, or even if you don't ask her, I think that that's just who she is. And maybe the alcohol might have encouraged some of what was happening at the end of this episode, but I think that she is strong-willed and awesome.
Yes. And then Haley, after this week's episode, who is your front runner to be the next bachelorette? That's from George CTV.
Ooh, this is a good one. Okay. So I definitely think that Cassie and Hannah G are probably going to end up in the top. They haven't really done anything exciting for me. So I could see Kaylin being the bachelorette, or gosh, who else? I don't know, Jim. Is there anyone else you can think of that might be good for Bachelorette? Like, I like Hannah B, but I feel like she's more Bachelor in Paradise fodder than Bachelorette.
I think that Kaylin is a lock.
Yeah.
Mm. Write it down now. I think that Kaylin is a lock.
Yeah, I could see it for sure.
There's no one else right now that I'm really like, ooh, this person could maybe, but.
Right.
So a lot of Bachelor in Paradise locks, but not a whole lot of Bachelorette locks for me.
Yeah, I think
I was just gonna say, I was so disappointed that the DJ from South Florida was out so early. I was ready for her to cause a ruckus, whatever. Well, I forget what her name was, but
yes,
she Catherine. Was in and out. Catherine Yeh, and someone who I hope is on Bachelor in Paradise.
Oh yeah, she'll be there.
I think so.
Full show.
I think I'll have to add Tayshia as a lock to Bachelor in Paradise as well. I think she's just like stunning, but I just don't see her going the distance with Colton based on the date that they had. They have didn't seem as strong of a connection as he has with others.
I noticed that Diggy's tweeting a lot about Tayshia.
Ooh.
Let's go round three for Diggy.
I know. We'll have to get him on to talk about that. He also had some funny tweet about Courtney about like something about like her like mouth didn't move when she was talking. And that just reminded me that I totally noticed that on the second watch when she was talking.
Yeah, I noticed
down.
It too. Like, for
sure. Like the ventriloquist talking to Demi. Oh. So strange. And then questions here from Facebook. Brenna Stewart. Haven't watched the episode, but here to say I am hyped for Jim. And then some kind of emoji that I can't tell what it is, but there you go. Jim, Brenna didn't have really a question, but wanted to share that with you.
Thank you, Brenna.
Will Holston, would you be as excited to go on the exact same date as your boyfriend's ex-girlfriend went on with her ex-fiance as Kaylin was on the shopping date? All right. I have to put this together here. Haley, are you following?
Yes.
Okay. Help me break this down.
Okay. So Ari got engaged to Becca. Ari took Becca on one of these shopping dates.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then Becca dated Colton. And now Colton's dating Tayshia. Wait, no, Kaylin.
So
it's like a weird, long, weird connection, but...
Did Colton get a shopping date? Was he taken on a shopping date?
I don't think so. Maybe he should have.
Well, and now I'm thinking too, didn't Onyeka say that Colton had never been out of the country? And Jimmy, you were saying, like, why didn't he say something like that instead of talking about the buildings? But didn't he travel out of the country with Becca? Or was he cut before then?
I'm pretty positive that they said in the episode that she said that Colton has never left North America.
North America.
I think that what she said.
Oh, and they might have gone to the Bahamas. I don't know. Let's check Emily Scher's chart again.
Yes.
@_sham. Let's do this. Give me 1 second. I'm also, Amy, I have a bunch of questions from Justin Feinberg that I forgot to include that. So I will say them at the end.
Yes.
Okay. So Becca. Yeah, so they went to the Bahamas, so that was North America. Yeah, look at that.
Is the Bahamas North America?
I guess so.
Yeah, Baroonies.
Mm. That makes sense now. I was like, okay. Yeah.
Story checks out. Yeah. And then it was hometowns, and he didn't make it past hometowns, as we know.
Yes. Kurt Clark says, you spelled Jim's wrong.
Yeah, in the post, I just wrote Jim, and it should be Jim. So that's Kurt saying hi, I can only assume. Yeah.
I hope you've made it this far in the podcast, Kurt.
Yes. He has. He did not turn it on.
Graham Gates says, so we can all agree that Courtney sucked, right?
Yeah, like, I wouldn't say she was a cancer, but would I want to hang out with her? Probably not.
Yeah.
She wouldn't make any effort to hang out with me, so...
So true.
I did think it was devastatingly funny when she stormed in on Demi, hoping that Colton was going to be there, and it's just like, it was just Demi. Yeah. That cracked me up.
Do you think they like hustled Colton out through like a back curtain or something to make more drama?
Yeah, I bet that's there's a real chance that they orchestrated that for sure.
Yeah. I mean, she did say like, I've tried. So maybe she was like trying to chase him around the mansion or the wherever they were. And we just didn't see it. But it seemed like her trying was just sitting there complaining about it. Felipe Chamon, haven't watched this week, but how would you compare Demi to the Bachelor villains, let's say from Ben's season, Olivia, Corinne, and Crystal? Corinne was Nick's season.
And Crystal was Ari, so.
Yeah.
But anyway, gosh, this is tough. They're all pretty and blonde.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Demi's different in the fact that I don't think she's like doing anything particularly wrong except saying some rude stuff. And that's kind of like Olivia. Like, I felt like Olivia wasn't doing anything wrong. She was just putting some people off.
Yeah, I don't think she ever thought she was going to be a villain. You know?
No, yeah. Definitely not. And I think in her post-Bachelor life, I think it shows that she's not really a villain.
Mm-hmm.
Corinne, was just very aggressive, and that's not really a type of person that we're used to seeing on television. And she also didn't care, so that made her villain-ish. In Crystal, I think like the worst thing she did was call Arya Needledy. Yeah, which was not great.
And get hilarious. And get upset on the bus that we didn't get to see, right? Yeah. And then she couldn't handle the competition date and not having time. So, yeah. Corinne was maybe more entitled. She was talking about her nanny a lot, and which I don't find Demi to be entitled at all. Crystal, I don't think was that into Ari, but wanted to maybe just win. And I think Demi is into Colton. And yeah, Olivia, long forgotten for me as a villain. So
yeah, absolutely.
Mary Kwiatkowski, would you be more personally insulted by A, being asked how old you are by someone of the same age, or B, being called the cancer of the house? Side note, have these girls never heard of being called the cancer on reality TV before? This is an extremely common trope, no?
Jim, how many shows do you think you've seen that somebody has been called the cancer of that show?
I'm racking my brain. Like, as someone who has just claimed to watch a whole bunch of reality television, like, I really can't think of a time. Can you think of a time where someone has been called a cancer?
I can't off the top of my head, but it's definitely familiar, I would think.
Maybe like MTV shows. This can't be the first time.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I can't think of one off the top of my head, but there's usually like another way to phrase it, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, if you should say something like, her attitude is affecting everybody else in the house. I mean, that's saying that's making that cancer analogy or metaphor in a way in which it's not saying she is a cancer.
Yeah, like that. Maybe her birthday is in mid-July to mid-August.
Yes. Oh, there you go.
Yes. So personally, I would be more insulted by the cancer of the house. How about you all?
Same. If somebody was asking me how old I am, like, I don't care.
I'm with you.
Caleb Doherty, how many consecutive seasons of Bachelor in Paradise will Demi be on?
Hopefully all of them until the end of time. Because she's only 23. She has a very long shelf life here.
Yes.
She could be the 31-year-old who comes back and is like, you know,
she could be Claire.
I'm eventually now the cougar.
Yes. Okay. That'd be perfect.
And you know she would embrace it.
Yeah, she would.
Yeah. All right, Haley, you said you had some more questions.
I do. Sorry, Justin. I don't know how I missed these off. So Justin asks, what is the more undesirable date? Tayshia's bungee jumping or Ben Higgins' pheromone group date? I think I'm going to have to go with bungee jumping is worse.
So we've created a new standard. Now we have to measure everything against bungee jumping as the worst date. Because it used to be
that's like the worst of
sniffing
the worst
pheromones.
Yeah. Is it a worse idea to make a light incest joke while kissing Colton or use your time with Colton on a 13-person group date to give him a hands-on demonstration of mummification techniques? How far will Kirpa continue to advance on the show without saying a single word of consequence?
Wow. And I will get that's a name we did not bring up at all.
Nope. Forgot she exists. I thought she was going to go home last night, and she did not. And will the first consequential word she utters on the show be, oh no, I did not get a rose? Do you think that's when we'll finally hear from Kirpa?
Yeah, when we start hearing from Kirpa is when we're going to say goodbye to her, I think.
Yeah.
And Justin's last question, since it seems readily apparent that the show is determined to showcase Hannah G and Cassie, each with Colton in every episode, are you able to break down each of their innate characteristics that make them unique and a perfect match for Colton? Jim, do you have any opinions on Hannah G or Cassie or how personality driven they are?
No, I think that Hannah G, I don't know. I really like Hannah G. Maybe that's just because she is also from Alabama. But I think that I don't know. Cassie was the weird sister one, right?
Yes.
Okay. It is hard. I'm sorry, Cassie, if you're listening.
But she's not. No one is.
I don't even know how to answer that question, really. I like Hannah G of those two. Hey, first impression rose goes a long way, right?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Especially if you're the Bachelorette.
Yeah. And I mean, I think the sister thing is like almost only helping Cassie at this point, because now it's like something I can point to her about, like something they can talk about and laugh about. So, yes. It looks like both of them are maybe getting one-on-ones next week, or at least looks like
did
Cassie.
Look like that.
So, yes, they will be in Thailand. All right. Haley, anything else?
Well, I have Doug's takes, of course.
Of course.
He said, I watched on the American feed this week and noticed that the Evacuate Tina's Uterus ad was replaced by an ad encouraging Americans to wear cotton. It would seem that this may be the only time in history when Canadian commercials have been better. Well, now you can use Lola when you need your uterus evacuation time. Oh,
that's there you go. Cotton. Yep.
Yep. when Colton told Tayshia that he was right there with her from like 1,000 feet away, that was foreshadowing the fact that he still sucks, right?
Yeah, how did she even hear that? Was this through like a walkie-talkie or something?
I have no idea. Because you think his voice would just get like carried away in the wind.
Right.
My dad wondered if there were any opium dens in Singapore. I told him that was a crazy stereotype and that the show was much more progressive than that. Then they started eating gross stuff, putting leeches on themselves, and asking where Singapore was. good thing Colton avoided doing exciting things to prolong his non-existent football career.
Yes. I thought that just struck me odd. Like, oh, I didn't do this because it was so unsafe and my job didn't want me to. But now I'm free to just risk my life completely. It just doesn't appeal to me. But
yeah, not, whatever works. I don't like taking adventure. I have too much anxiety for that. If Demi's mom is out of prison, does that mean we get a hometown date at a halfway house? Ooh. I don't know. Possible. And hypothetical of the week, you need to do one of the following to survive. A, be the camera person who had to film the extremely awkward makeout scene between Hannah G and Colton. Or B, bungee jump on a first date with a colossal loser and then share details of your recent divorce on national television. Or C, be the person for Tourism Singapore who had to oversee a North Korea-United States summit and a visit from this insane show in a matter of months. Thanks again for all you do. Roll Tide.
Perfect. I have to go with the first one on that one.
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%.
Camera crew. It's fine.
Because at least you could just like look away and pretend
away,
it's not happening.
It's quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, Jim, thank you so much for joining us. This was so much fun. Got a whole new perspective. You had observations that we totally missed. So,
and you did research that we have not done in the half a decade we've been doing this show.
Well, it was a pleasure to be on the show. It's like I say, I love talking about reality television with anybody who will listen. And you all have given me a great format for me to, you know, talk about Yelp ratings. So I appreciate it.
1-star Yelp reviews. Yeah. Oh gosh. So Jim, where can people find you on the internet?
Yeah, I'm very easy to find on the internet. I'm at at Chef Jim Smith on all the platforms. Instagram, there are some underscores in there, but I am easy to contact. If you go to my website, which is chefjimsmith.com, you can find links to all of my various social media. You can like, friend, and follow me. Please do that. And I'm also pretty good at interacting with folks online. I do tend to live tweet Celebrity Big Brother and Top Chef, which is still going on. So if you want to talk to me about whatever's happening on the episodes or have any questions, I'm easy to find on social media. And other than that, look, seriously, if anybody out there wants to hire me to come and cook for a party, all you have to do is send me an email. That kind of information is available through my website as well. And
What would be your top recommended dish for a bachelor viewing party?
Oh, that's a tough one. Whenever I throw a party for anything like this, I always like to have lots of seafood. Like I would love to have some pickled shrimp. I think would be awesome at a bachelor viewing party.
Oh my God. Yes. I don't have enough shrimp at my bachelor viewing parties personally.
I think I would probably need a little bit of time to think of some punny stuff to include, but
if you want to like do a menu and just like put it on Twitter, we'll retweet the S out of that.
Ooh, awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, I'll definitely think about it. I will tell you something else too, that as someone who I love interacting with other people who have been on reality TV shows. And this week I actually got a response from Christian Hubicki on one of my tweets about Top Chef, who I know Christian is a Top Chef fan. And I'm sure that everybody on this network loves Christian as much as I do. And so if Christian has made it this far in the podcast, thanks, brother, for some nerd love there.
Oh my God! If Christian listens to this podcast, that's something else.
Yeah,
like I was like taking screenshots and circling it really big and like sending. I sent it to Mike Bloom. I was like, check this out, dude. It was a good nerd moment there.
That's awesome.
And Jim often joins us on the Top Chef or Hapa. He was on a couple of weeks ago. I was not there, unfortunately, so that's why he had to come over here and hang out with us. So you can check him out there too.
Yes, you can find me. Subscribe to Wrap Ups. You'll get Top Chef, everything. And you'll get this podcast. So,
and then also subscribe to that and subscribe to both feeds separately, so we get double the downloads. And also rate and review 5 stars only, please. I have low self esteem and I need the support from people on the internet, because that's where I get any confidence from. So you're welcome.
Yes, and it will help us keep getting awesome guests like Jim if you chime in on the ratings and subscriptions as well. So
yeah, and if your mom or dad who doesn't know how to use their iPhone puts their phone down for 15 minutes, go to their podcast subscription feed and just subscribe to us, please. That'd be nice. That'd
be fun. They'll never notice.
They won't notice. Just turn off notifications. So it's fine. They won't even know. Their phone will be so full and they'll be like, oh, yeah. How did this happen? I can't take a picture of my socks and 7 different times and post it on Facebook. Why is that? And then maybe you'll have to delete a few episodes. But until then, you don't have to worry about it. Just subscribe.
Yes. And Haley, where can people find you? Did we get that?
I don't think so. Maybe you don't want to at this point. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at hstrong_. And you can also read up on my blog, strongtakes.ca. And I will be away next week. So love and light to you all.
Yes. So you can find me at RHAP Recapper. And we will have a special guest. Angela Bloom will be guest co-hosting with me. And we are hoping that Becca has her baby by then, so that we can critique the baby names. So that's the only thing we have on our agenda so far.
Oh, damn it. I wish I could be there for critiquing baby names. That's like one of my favorite hobbies.
You will have to tweet it to us.
Yeah, I will.
DM us. Yes. All right. Well, thanks again, Jim. And thanks, everybody, for listening. And we'll be back next week. Bye.
Bye.